Thank you, Uncle Bill. And one I have to acknowledge before diving into the scriptures that Green Eggs and Ham explores something new to try. And if you haven't heard it yet and you haven't noticed it, we are trying something new in worship today, as after 6 weeks of waiting, we finally received our device that allows us to tap into the sanctuary camera and into the sound system. And so this morning is our test out of learning how to transition between slides and moving the camera and doing all of the sound. And so one, so excited for the opportunities that brings, and a big thanksgiving for our tech crew that makes all that happen. If it was on me, we would just have my phone in my face and y'all would be quite bored of worship. And so a thank you to our tech team that makes it so that we can hear and see everything, and this is able to go out to everybody. And so praise to the tech team. Woohoo! And with that, my friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Though I have to say with that, you all feel so far away now talking to that camera instead of one up here. So brain is doing some adjusting. All right. So I'm inviting you right now, before I share mine, to consider what is something that you have resisted trying, okay? Whether it's legitimate or not, and Becky is pointing at Uncle Bill, and I know the words balut are out there. I got everybody to laugh on that one. Do you know what balut is, Heidi? It's the fermented duck egg. With like claws and beak and Esther says, when it goes down, you suddenly hear a peep. Yeah. No? Next Sunday, Bill will bring us some. No? Okay. But what is, what's that?
They're on sale.
They're on sale. All right. yay, live worship. I invite you in the Facebook chat to list something that you've resisted trying, whether it's food or an activity or coming up and singing a solo in worship, whatever it might be. And while you list yours and think of yours, I'm gonna list two from growing up that I would have always told you, no, I don't like that, no, I don't eat that. And they're eggplant and Brussels sprouts. Yes, I'm picking two vegetables, but these are two vegetables that were not seen in my house growing up or any table that we sat at. And so I spent all my life growing up saying, ew, gross, no, I don't eat those. Now, the funny thing is, I made it into adulthood saying, ew, gross, and never once had I taken a single bite of either of them. But to me, it was ew, gross, because what was it? These are two things my parents did not eat. Growing up, they did not like it when it was fed to them, and so it was passed to my brother and I that these are ew, gross, yuck. And I think actually for both of them, it was more of a texture issue than a taste issue, but one way or the other, these were ew, gross, yuck. Well, eventually as an adult, I did try both of these. One day I was at my last church and we had a community free meal that we did, and we had donations that would come through Second Harvest Food Bank. And I would attempt to make a meal utilizing some of these free and extremely cheap goods that came in. And all of a sudden one Wednesday, what came through but boxes of eggplant. And all I could think was, ew, gross, I don't eat these. And now I gotta feed them to people. So what did I do? Of course, I went on the internet and started scrolling and searching websites and recipes and what in the world can I do with this disgusting vegetable? And then I found these stuffed shells, and it had peppers and onions and Italian sausage and eggplant and cheese in it and covered in sauce. And I thought, all right, we'll just embed it into all these other things. Well, guess what? I got that first shell. And I took that first bite that had that spongy, mysterious, that I suspected disgusting chunk of eggplant in it. And guess what? I took that bite and it was totally a Green Eggs and Ham experience, where it was delicious. Yes, a little spongy, yes, a little different of a texture, but it was delicious. I should admit, I've never made eggplant ever again, but to this day, I love Brussels sprouts. Cook them up, make sure you get a nice caramelization on the half, throw in some bacon, delicious. But what does it remind us? That we gotta try new things, right? We gotta be people who don't just have a perception of what things are, how they're gonna taste, what it's gonna feel like, what it's gonna be, but we actually have to try new things. And what do we get here? But here we get to green eggs and ham. And a couple of facts related to Dr. Seuss and green eggs and ham. One to realize as we talk about the persistence of Sam I Am, that Dr. Seuss's very first book, which I challenge you if you know what it was, to put it on Facebook, but his first book was rejected by publishers 27 times. Imagine that. One of our greatest children's authors that we've ever known, trying to publish his first book and being rejected 27 times. But that means 28 times he persisted and tried to get that book published. And then look at the career, the imagination, the beauty and wonder that came from it. Now with Green Eggs and Ham, one day Dr. Seuss's editor challenged him to see if he could write an entire children's book using only 50 words. Guess how many words are in Green Eggs and Ham? 50 words exactly. An interesting one, when you look at the list, they are all one-syllable words except one word. Now, if you think you know what that word is, comment on Facebook. Look at all these mysteries of today. But here we go. A book with just 50 words. A book with no words that a beginning reader couldn't read. And what is it all about but persistence and trying something new? Sam I Am, in my mind, is the embodiment of joyful persistence. Because not only was it a persistence of you've got to try it, you've got to try it, you've got to try it, but it wasn't a forcing. It wasn't a beating him over the head. It was this joyful, I love them, you've got to try them. How about in a box? How about with a fox? How about on a house? How about? He just so enthusiastically felt that these green eggs and ham needed to be eaten and shared, that they would be enjoyed. So there's a challenge within this book, yes, on one side, of how is it that we try new things? How is it that we explore into places that we've never been? But maybe also we can put ourselves in the shoes of Sam I Am. How is it that we become people of joyful persistence and having a joy no matter the situation we're going through? 2 Corinthians, our text of the day, looks at just this very thing. Here it talks about the ministry of reconciliation. Here it talks about who Christ is and what Christ did, of how he worked to reconcile us with one another and reconcile us with God through his death, through the giving of his life that we celebrate in Holy Communion today. And he died for all so that all can live through him. And I love some of these words in here, that Christ's love compels us, that we regard no one now from a worldly point of view. If it's not a worldly point of view, then it must be a godly point of view. How do we see people through God's lens? How do we see the world and life around us through God's eyes? How would that change what we see, how we experience it, and how we respond to it? But now the old is gone, and the new is here, that we are a new creation in Christ. Let's think about that. Us as a new creation. Us as something new that has come through Christ, through resurrection, through the giving of ultimate love for us. And then what do we become when we accept that, embody that, embrace that, and desire to share that? The writer of Corinthians, Paul, tells us that we become ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So now what does it look like? If we in this world, in particular this time right now, this time of anxiety, this time of fear, this time of unknowns, this time when we just don't know from day to day what's going to happen, what news we're going to hear, what crazy things are happening around us, we can respond with more anxiety. We can respond with more fear. We can respond with words that incite more anger and anxiety of fear. Or we can choose to respond with joyful obedience, joyful persistence, and joyful perseverance. Let's look for a second at the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And what does Paul compel us to do through Christ? But he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. We have an opportunity right now to imitate Sam, to imitate Christ, to imitate Paul, and be bearers of the message of joy, of hope, and of good news. How are we sharing that today? How are we seeking to live this text that invites us to do good for other people? How is it that we are choosing the words that we share, the actions that we take, the words that we speak, to be those of hope and joy, to be those that are sharing light in this world that can be so dark? It reminded me the story of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, as he was sailing from England to Georgia. And what happened, but as they were sailing along, this huge storm came, right? Can y'all relate? Are we in a storm right now? Are the winds swirling and the rains coming down? And John Wesley was like much of us. John Wesley was panicking, having fear and anxiety. What's going to happen to us? Is the boat going to go down? Is the boat going to hold? What is going to become of us? And then he looked over at a group of Moravians that were sailing with him. And were they panicking? No. Were they in fear? No. Were they anxious? No. What were they doing? But they were reading scriptures, and they were singing, and they had a calm and a peace about them through the presence of God that came through those scriptures and came through that song, and it radically changed how they experienced that storm. And John Wesley looked at them and said, I need me some of that. So how are we being like those Moravians? That when we're facing a storm that we are all in, how are we having the calm and peace and joy of God that comes through the scriptures, that comes through the beauty of song, that comes from the Holy Spirit, that comes from Holy Communion, that comes from our experience in knowing that God will get us through this? How is it that we are living in just such a way? Look at Psalm 34, and I love this one. Psalm 34, the eighth verse, invites us of how we get that calm, how we get that peace, how we allow joy to be a part of us, even in the toughest of days. And the introduction to this psalm says that it was when David was seeking safety from a king that was seeking to take his life. David was running for his life. David could be in fear. David could be in panic. And what does he say in the 8th verse? As he's encouraging others through this time that he's facing, but he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." How are we accepting what the Lord is offering us? How are we experiencing, tasting the sweetness of God's love, being radically transformed by what God is offering us? The hope that we will get through today and tomorrow and the days to come. That maybe what comes on the other side of this storm doesn't look exactly like it did before we entered it. But how do we have hope in what's going to spring forth of new life from this storm? When the waters part and the sun begins to shine, what new growth will we see in it? And how will so much of that come from us and the way that we are choosing to live with joyful persistence that invites others to taste and see what God has to offer? Because my friends, what we do, what people see us do, what we say, and what they hear from us is the words and actions of God through us. So let us choose wisely. Let us choose with hope-filled hearts. And let us choose to live with joy for all to see in such a way that is infectious and changing the world around us. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you are the solid rock that we are able to stand on. That you are the one that has gotten your people through every storm that's come before us, from wildernesses and deserts and exiles and floods. That you always are there every step of the way. You always help your people to find solid ground and the beauty that comes on the other side of the difficult days. Help us to hold on to you, to taste and to see the hope that you offer, and in return, to share that good news with joy-filled persistence to all those around us, in all that we say, in all that we do, and all that we are. For this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.